بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we began studying tasbihat al-sujood, i.e. the tasbihat which you make whilst you are in a state of sujood. And we said, firstly, what is the hukam of these tasbihat, saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la and so on and so forth? What is the hukam? Wajib. And when we say something is wajib in the salah, what do we mean? When we say something is wajib in the salah, what do we mean? Who knows?
If you miss out intentionally, you have to make the whole rak'ah. And if you miss out unintentionally, you have to do sujood.
Then you do sujood sahu. And if you forget sujood sahu, there's nothing upon you. So the meaning of wajib is that if you leave saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la intentionally, then that rak'ah is not valid. So you have to repeat the rak'ah again. If you forget to say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, then the rak'ah is valid, but you have to make sujood sahu at the end, i.e. the two sujood for forgetfulness. And what if... Jee, welcome, sir. If a person mixes up between saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim and Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, so in the ruku' he says Subhana Rabbi al-A'la and in the sujood he says Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, then can you remember the difference of opinion amongst the ulama?
Some say that the whole rak'ah is invalid and some say that's fine.
So Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he said if out of forgetfulness a person said Subhana Rabbi al-Azim instead of saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, then there's nothing upon him. Why? Because he has made tasbih, and the obligation is to make a tasbih. But the majority of the ulama, they say no. You have to say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in the ruku', you have to say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in the sujood. Why? Because this is the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed. So if a person did it the other way around, then upon him is sujood as-sahu. We said that saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la is wajib how many times? Naam? Once is wajib. And three times is adn al-kamal, the minimum level of perfection. And saying it more than three times is more reward and more recommended. Also, as well as saying Subhan Rabbi al-A'la in the sujood, what else should a person do in the sujood? Make dua. And a person is not allowed to make dua in the ruku'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَلَا إِنِّي نُهِيتُ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ رَاكِعًا أَوْ سَاجِدًا. I have been prohibited from reciting the Qur'an in ruku' and sujood. So we're not allowed to recite the Qur'an in ruku' and sujood, only when he's standing up. فَأَمَّا الرُّكُوعُ فَعَظِّمُوا فِيهِ رَبْ. So as for the ruku', then make ta'zeem of Allah, meaning make tasbih, don't make dua. وَأَمَّا السُّجُود فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى. As for sujood, then make a lot of dua in it. فَقَامِنٌ أَنْ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ, because it will be accepted. And then we went through Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and the meaning of Subhana Rabbi al-A'la is Subhana is to glorify Allah above any deficiency or weakness. Rabbi, my Lord, al-A'la, the most high. And also we went through Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdihi. And also Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati wa Ruh. Rabbul Malaika, what does it mean? Rabbul Malaika? Angels. Wa Ruh? Jibreel alayhi salam. What are the names of Jibreel alayhi salam? I think we mentioned four names. Now, what are they?
Jibreel,
Quddus, and Ruhul Amin. Nam Ahsant. And also, we went through. I think we stopped there. So in this lesson, we come to the saying, Subhanakallahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma ghfirli. A person can also say this. And remember, in the ruku' and the sujood, a person can say more than one of these. So as many as you want, a person can say them. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma ghfirli. Where else should a person say this? In which other place did we study it? In the ruku', ahsantum, in the ruku'. So in the ruku', a person can also say, Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma ghfirli. Subhanaka, the meaning of subhan is at-tanzih. And the meaning of tanzih is to free Allah or to glorify Him. And what do we free Allah from? Kulli naqsin wa aib. We free Allah, we glorify Allah above any deficiency or imperfection. And the deficiency or the imperfection that we glorify Allah above is three types. So first of all, Allah does not have any attribute of imperfection. So weakness is an attribute of imperfection. We say Allah does not become weak because this is an attribute of imperfection. Secondly, in the attributes of Allah, there is no imperfection. So as an example, knowledge is an attribute of perfection. It's a good attribute. But our knowledge, it is deficient. Some things we know and other things we do not know. Seeing and hearing are attributes which are praiseworthy, but our seeing and hearing, it is limited. It is deficient because some things we cannot see and some things we cannot hear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only do we free from Him any attribute of imperfection like weakness and cowardice and sleep and tiredness, but also in the attributes which He has, there is no weakness or deficiency in it. And finally, there is no deficiency in the attributes of Allah in that there is nobody and nothing which is equal or comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of subhanaka, tanzihullah an kulli naqsin wa aib, to free Allah, to glorify Allah above any deficiency, weakness or imperfection. Allahumma, what's the asl of Allahumma? Ya Allah. So the asl of Allahumma is Ya Allah. Then the Ya and the Alif were deleted and the Meem is added to the end to become Allahumma. Rabbana, our Rabb. And this word Rabb, which attributes does it contain? When we say Allah is our Rabb, what does it contain? Naam, brothers on the left hand side now. Naam, Al-Khaliq and Al-Malik, the owner, Wal-Mudabbir and the controller. This is the meaning of Ar-Rabb. Wabihamdika, and by your hamd. And the meaning of hamd is wasful mahmud bil kamal mahabbatan wa ta'zima, to attribute perfection to Allah out of love and veneration for Him. This is the meaning of bihamd. Wa bihamdika, and by your praise, meaning, O Allah, by your praise we have been guided. O Allah, by your tawfiq we have made this sujood. O Allah, by your guidance we are able to pray. This is the meaning of wa bihamdika. And then Allahumma ghfirli, O Allah, forgive me. I ask you for maghfira. The word maghfira, it comes from the Arabic word al-mighfar. And al-mighfar is a helmet which is worn on the head. This is the meaning of al-mighfar. And the point of the mighfar, the helmet, is that it protects you. And it shelters you from any harm. So maghfirah, when we ask Allah for maghfirah, for forgiveness, it means two things. Sitr al-dhunub, that Allah conceals your sins so nobody else knows your sins. So your sins are not exposed to the people. And then secondly, for you not to be punished by them. So maghfirah, it means two things. Number one is a sitr, which is to be concealed, just as your head is concealed under a helmet. And then Al-Afu, which means to be pardoned and forgiven, so you are not punished for these sins. This phrase here, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, Subhanakallahumma rabbana wa bihamdika, Allahumma ghfirli. It contains a number of things. Firstly, it contains a nafi, meaning you're negating something from Allah. Then it contains al-ithbat, you are affirming something from Allah. Then it contains an affirmation of at-tawheed, number three. Number four, it contains you showing your weakness and your need to Allah. And number five, it contains a dua. So tell me, in this phrase, where is a nafi? Where is the negation? The brothers on the left. Where is the negation in this phrase? Where is that? What are we negating from Allah? Which word is a nafi? Subhanakallahumma rabbana wa bihamdika allahumma ghafirli. We said one of these words, we are freeing Allah from something. We are negating something from Allah. What is it? Efran? Naam. Subhana. Because we said subhana, it means to free Allah from any weakness or deficiency. So subhana, this is a nafi. Where is ithbat? Where is the affirmation? What are we affirming? Where are we affirming anything for Allah here? Mustafa? Efran? Wabihamdika, ahsant. Wabihamdika, meaning you are affirming perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best type of praise is when you free imperfection and you affirm perfection. This is the best type of praise. Thirdly, where is Tawheed here in this phrase? Where is Tawheed? And which type of Tawheed from the three types? Naam. Rabbana. Rabbana, because it contains Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Fourthly, where is showing your weakness and your need in front of Allah in this Tasbih? Naam. Anybody? Sorry? Before that. Before that. Before wabihamdika. Because we said the meaning of bihamdika is, O Allah, by your praise we have been guided. Meaning, if it was not for you, we would not have been guided. So therefore you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your guidance. And then finally there is a dua, and the dua is Allahumma ghfirli. Then after this we come to the tasbih. Allahumma laka sajadtu wa bika amantu وَلَكَ أَسْلَمْتُ سَجَدَ وَجْهِي لِلَّذِي خَلَقَهُ وَصَوَّرَهُ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَهُ وَشَقَّ سَمْعَهُ وَبَصَرَهُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. This dua, it has been narrated by Ali رضي الله عنه in Sahih Muslim. He said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سجد يقول, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he would go into sujood, he would say. And then he mentioned this dua, or this tasbih, which we have mentioned. This tasbih is made up of a number of sentences. Firstly, Allahumma laka sajadtu. O Allah, for you I have made sujood. And in normal Arabic, the verb should come first, fi'l, and then the fa'il, and then the maf'ulun bihi. Meaning, normally you should say, Allahumma sajadtu laka. O Allah, I make sujood for you. In this ayah, the word, in this tasbih, the word laka comes first. Allahumma laka sajadtu. So the maf'ulun bihi, which should be at the end, is muqaddam, is brought forward. And the benefit behind this, tafadhal. What's the benefit if the maf'ulun bihi is brought before the fi'l and the fa'il? Al-hasr, ahsant, is restriction. So, meaning you're saying, O Allah, for you I make sujood, and I do not make sujood for anybody else. And this shows that the sujood in of itself is an ibadah. So if a person makes the sujood to anybody else besides Allah, then it is shirk. Shirkun akbar and kufr. So the sujood in of itself, it is a type of ibadah. Wa bika amantu. And by you or in you I have al-Iman. And the meaning of al-Imanu billah, having Iman in Allah, is al-i'tiqad al-jazim. Is to have firm, concrete, certain faith fi wujudillah, that Allah exists, number one. Wa fi rububiyyatillah, and that Allah is the Rabb, meaning Allah is the Khaliq and the Malik and the Razik and the Mudabbir. Wa uluhiyyatillah, and that Allah is the only one deserving of your ibadah. Wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi, and having iman in the names and the attributes and the actions of Allah. So al-imanu billah contains four things, four pillars. Firstly, al-wujud, existence. Now, write it. So al-imanu billah, it has four pillars. Firstly, You have to believe in the existence of Allah. Secondly, and this is called al-wujud. Secondly, al-rububiyyah. You have to believe in the lordship of Allah. Thirdly, al-uluhiyyah. You have to believe in the sole right of Allah to worship. And fourthly, al-asma wa-sifat wa-al-af'al. You have to believe in the names of Allah and the descriptions of Allah and the actions of Allah. This is all al-imanu billah. وَبِكَ آمَنْتُ وَلَكَ أَسْلَمْتُ. And I have submitted myself for you. And this is the meaning of Islam. So Islam, it means al-istislam, complete submission for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of being a Muslim is that you completely submit yourself to Allah Jalla fil ula in everything. So every person is a Muslim, every human being, in the sense that every human being is in submission to Allah. The qadr of Allah, the decree of Allah, nobody can escape the decree of Allah. So in that sense, everybody is abdun lillah, is in submission to Allah, or is a Muslim. But as for submitting yourself to the sharia and to the ahkam and being happy and pleased with it, then it is only the people of at-tawheed. He said, سَجَدَ وَجْهِي لِلَّذِي خَلَقَهُ وَصَوَّرَهُ. My face, it goes into sujood for the one who created it and fashioned it. فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَهُ. So he fashioned it well. وَشَقَّ سَمْعَهُ وَبَصَرَهُ. And he gave it its hearing and he gave it its seeing. تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. Blessed is Allah, أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. And he's the best of creators. After this, we come to the next dua, which is اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي كله دقه وجله وأوله وآخره وعلانيته وسره. اللهم اغفر لي. O Allah, forgive me. And we said the meaning of maghfira is two things. Firstly, sitr al-dhunub, that the sins are covered and hidden, concealed, so they're not exposed to anybody else. And secondly, al-afiyah, that then a person isn't punished for those sins. That's the meaning of Allahumma ghfirli. Dhanbi, my sins, meaning every action of disobedience. And then he said, diqihi wa jullihi. A diq means small. Daqiq, something being daqiq is very, very small and detailed. Well, jul meaning something which is great. So we are saying, oh Allah, forgive me for my sins. Diqihi wa jullihi, the small sins and the big sins. And the reason why the small sins are mentioned before the major sins is because often when a person falls into a sin, shaitan doesn't trap him by doing a major sin straight away. So very few people in the first instance go and fall into zina. Rather, they always start with a small sin. So first a person begins by, for example, looking at a woman who is ajnabi. And then he begins to talk to her, just words and conversation. And then maybe he goes and is alone with her. And then slowly, slowly, slowly he may fall into zina, may Allah protect us. So always the small sins are an avenue to the major sins. And the ulama, they say, as-sagair tuwallidu al-kabair, that the small sins, they give birth to the major sins. So if a person tries to protect himself from the minor sins, then bi-idhnillah he protects himself from the major sins. And some of the ulama, they said, al-istimraru bis-sagair kabira, that a person continuously doing minor sins, this then becomes a major sin. Wa-awwalihi wa-akhirihi, and the first and the last. Meaning, O Allah, forgive my sins, the early ones and the later ones. وَعَلَانِيَّتِهِ وَسِرِّهِ, and the ones which are done in open, which people can see, and the ones which are concealed and nobody can see. And this word وَسِرِّهِ, nobody can see, meaning other than Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows مَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ, what even the chests and the hearts hide. So when we talk about the open sins and the hidden sins, meaning from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, أيها الإخوة, this dua, it contains adab dua. It contains the etiquettes or the manners which a person should have when he makes dua. Notice, this dua, it's repetitive. If a person said, Allahumma ghfir li, oh Allah forgive me for all of my sins, that's enough. But you find in this dua, kullihi, all of it. Diqihi wa jullihi, the small sins and the major sins. Awwalihi wa akhirihi, the first sins and the last sins. Wa alaniyatihi wa sirihi, the open sins and the hidden sins. From this, the ulama say that when a person is showing his weakness in front of Allah, then he should go into detail. And he should mention his sins and as many sins as he can. So when somebody is asking something from Allah, it's better to use the du'as which are comprehensive. Like for example, instead of saying, oh Allah give me this and give me a house and give me X, Y, Z, and mentioning everything. If a person said, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, oh Allah give us goodness in this dunya, wa fil akhirati hasana, and give us goodness in the akhirah, then every type of goodness in the dunya is included in this du'a. And every type of goodness in the akhirah is included in this du'a. But when it comes to admitting your sins and your weaknesses and seeking the forgiveness of Allah, then you should go into detail, like this du'a. If a person said, Allahumma filli dhanbi kullihi, oh Allah forgive my sins, all of them, this is enough. But the hadith is, the small and the big and the first and the last and the open and the secret. So there is repetition in this. And whenever a person loves something, then he seeks it repetitively. He doesn't stop by just saying it once. And one of the ways for a person to love a dua is by being repetitive in a dua. And making different statements which are similar. And also, the ulama mentioned that because sins are different types, there are some sins which are small, there are some sins which are major. Some come first, some come later. Some are hidden, some in open. Then also this dua, it is appropriate. And then the final dhikr or dua when it comes to a tasbih is Allahumma a'udhu bi ridaaka min sakhatika wa bi mu'afatika min uqubatika wa a'udhu bika minka la wa a'udhu bika minka la uhsi thana alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. And it means, oh Allah, Allahumma, oh Allah, ayya Allah, a'udhu bi ridaaka min sakhatik, oh Allah, I seek refuge and protection. So a'udhu is al-iltija wal-i'tisam. It is seeking refuge in Allah and protection in Allah before a harm comes to a person. This is the meaning of a'udhu. Just like you seek refuge in a shelter before it rains, then similarly you seek refuge in Allah and protection from Allah before you're harmed with something. And what do you seek refuge in? He said, بِرِضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ. Though, O Allah, I seek protection in your pleasure from your anger. I seek protection in your pleasure from your anger. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has attributes of love and mercy, and He also has attributes of punishment and anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah is oft forgiving and most merciful. At the same time, He is severe in His punishment. Allah has mercy, He loves, He rewards, He is pleased with. At the same time, He becomes angry and He punishes. So these are the two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah becomes angry with a person, there's nobody who can save a person from the anger of Allah except Allah Himself. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. That if Allah afflicts you with a difficulty, nobody can remove this difficulty except Him. And therefore, in order to seek refuge in Allah from His anger, we ask Allah to remove His anger. And we do this through seeking His pleasure. So we are saying, اللَّهُمَّ أَعُوذُ بِرِضَاكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in Your pleasure from You becoming angry. And Allah said, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my anger is greater than everything. And He said, وَرَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي, that my mercy, it comes before my anger. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, my mercy encompasses everything. وَرَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي, my mercy comes before my anger. So we seek refuge in Allah, in His mercy, from His anger. وَبِمُعَافَاتِكَ مِنْ عُقُوبَتِكَ, and also from your pardoning We seek refuge in your pardoning from your punishment. As I mentioned, when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, there's nobody who can protect you except the pardoning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you seek refuge in the pardoning and the forgiveness of Allah from the punishment, which is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ. And O Allah, I seek refuge in you from you. I seek refuge in you, bika, from you, minka. Meaning I seek refuge in your mercy from your punishment. This is the meaning of seeking refuge in Allah from Allah. لا أحصي ثناء عليك. I cannot enumerate the praises upon you. Meaning, regardless of how much a person tries to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll never be able to fulfill the right which Allah has upon you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is praised for every single action which He does. Because all of His actions are perfect. Allah is praised for every blessing which He has blessed you with, every single ni'mah. Can you count the ni'mah of Allah upon you? You can't count the ni'mah of Allah. And therefore, you can't fulfill the praise which He is deserving of. And Allah said in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَحْصُوهَا. That if you were to try to count the blessings of Allah upon you, you will not be able to count them. And therefore, how can you fulfill His praise? So He has blessed you with Islam, with Iman, with Tawheed, with the Sunnah, with life, with good health, with wealth, with parents. And it carries on safety and security and how many things that person could mention. And then, أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. You are as you have praised yourself. Meaning nobody is able to realize the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except Him. Now that's the meaning of أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. And this dua was narrated by Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim. She said, one day she was lying by the side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, فَقَدْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْلَةً مِّنْ فِرَاشِهِ. That one day, I noticed the Prophet sallallahu, one night, I noticed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was missing, meaning he wasn't by my side. She said, فَالْتَمَسْتُهُ فَوَقَعَتْ يَدِي عَلَى بَطْنِ قَدَمِي. So she tried to feel out for him, because obviously in those times there was no lighting, so it was very dark. So she tried to feel, where's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gone? She said, فَوَقَعَتْ يَدِي عَلَى بَطْنْ قَدَمَيْهِ. So my hands, they touched beneath the foot of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَهُوَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. And he is in al-masjid. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. The meaning of masjid here means as-sujood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in sujood next to her. وَهُمَا مَنْصُوبَتَانِ. And both of his feet were propped up. Meaning when a person goes into sujood, if you excuse me, and both of your feet, they are propped up like this. So Ummul Mumin Aisha radiallahu anha, when she tried to search for the Prophet with her hands, she ended up touching the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then she narrated that she heard him saying, Allahumma a'udhu bi ridaka min sakhatik wa bi mu'afatika min uqubatik wa a'udhu bika minka. لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.